Okay, I'm recording. Okay, good evening, everybody. We've been learning the halachas of Chol HaMoed over the past couple of weeks, in line with Maseches Moed Katan. I thought that we would do one last shiur, regarding the Chol HaMoed, but instead of speaking about the do's and the don'ts, I thought that we would learn more about from the sources of the proper way to be mesameach, to rejoice on the Yom Tov and on the Yom Tov, on the Chol HaMoed, and also to see exactly the difference between the Yom Tov and the Chol HaMoed. What level of kedusha are we to subscribe to the Chol HaMoed in relation to the Yom Tov? So it's very interesting that there might even be a machlokes how much we need to be mekadesh and be mesameach over the Chol HaMoed. And it's also fascinating to learn the sources exactly what our attitude should be towards the Simchas Yom Tov and towards the Simcha that takes place in Chol HaMoed, and how we're serving Hashem through that expression of Simcha. So let's start with the Lashon of the Tur in Simin Tav Kuf Chaf Tes. So this is actually referring to Yom Tov. I thought we would start with the Yom Tov itself. So mitzvahs Yom Tov, lechalik oisai. So the mitzvah is to divide the day into two. So chetzi lebeis hamedrash. So half of the day should be spent in the beis medrash, in shul, davening and learning, and we'll see exactly the Seder Hayom that the Rambam describes. And the other half of the day should be spent rejoicing over the Yom Tov with achila and shtiyah, drinking, eating and drinking. Even though normally a person is discouraged from splurging, a person is supposed to save his money, the person is supposed to be careful with his money, he should be mitzamsem, he should try to be precise with his money. When it comes to Yom Tov, so the person should not be mitzamsim, he should not be stingy, and he should splurge over being mechabed, honoring the Yom Tov. You have to honor it, and you have to delight in it. The same way a person is supposed to honor and delight in the Shabbos. To delight and honor the Shabbos. So it's interesting because the Poskim discuss that when it comes to Shabbos, there's an inyan of kavod and oneg, there's an inyan of honoring the Shabbos, and there's an inyan of delighting in the Shabbos. And the Rambam seems to say that those same conditions, those same requirements apply to Yom Tov also. This is speaking about the actual Yom Tov before the Rambam gets to the Chol HaMoed. Ubehilcha Shabbos Kesativ, and the Rambam says, the Torah says that I wrote these halachas in Hilchos Shabbos. Now, v'yeshoimim, there are those who say shetzarach lasos by gimel sudos. There are those who say that on a Yom Tov you should have three meals. We know that on Shabbos we have the three meals, so there are those who say that on Yom Tov as well we should have three meals. So chen kosav haRambam zal, and so says the Rambam, and we're actually going to read the Rambam. We'll see that for ourselves. However, of the Adoni HaRosh, but my father the Rosh Lo Noakein, that was not his minig, and that's also not our minig, that everybody knows that on Shabbos there are three meals, and on Yom Tov, generally speaking, we only have two meals. Some people on Pesach, the last day of Pesach, they want to have an extra opportunity to be Yotzei, the mitzvah kiyumis, to fulfill the voluntary mitzvah of eating matzah, so they have a third meal. But generally speaking, the minig is that on Yom Tov we have a meal once in the evening and then once the following morning. The Rambam held that there are actually three meals on the Yom Tov, and that's sort of what the Torah is saying, that there's just as big a mitzvah to be ma'anig, there's just as big a mitzvah to be ma'anig the day as there is on Shabbos. Okay, now let's look at the Rambam, and the Torah brings this as well. In item Beis, Kosov HaRambam. Chayiv, this is a quote from the Torah. The Torah brings the Rambam as well. Chayiv adam liyos sameach v'toiv leiv b'moyed. So a man is obligated to rejoice and to be v'toiv leiv, and that he should have a good heart. He should be besimcha. But moed, on the moed. Now, if you notice, over here the Rambam uses the word moed. He doesn't use the word yom tov. He uses the word moed. And this is actually, it's going to become clear that the Rambam is referring to all 7 days of Pesach, all 8 days of Sukkot, not just the two ends, the two yom tovim. Exactly, he's referring to the Chol HaMoed as well. Hu v'ishtoi ubanav. The man should be happy. It's the man's responsibility to rejoice his wife, to see to it that his wife is happy and that his children are happy. V'chol hanilvim elav, and anybody who accompanies him, anybody who's a member of his household, anybody who he's responsible for, he should make sure it's his responsibility that everybody enjoys the Yom Tov, Sameach v'toiv leiv. Kol echad koroi lei. Each person should receive the things that they need in order to be able to rejoice with the Yom Tov. Ketzad, so this is something that we've heard before. The ketanim, noisin lehem kloyos ve'egoizim. Ketanim, the children, we should give them kloyos. So in those days, parched grain, it was sort of like a popcorn of sorts. Egoizim is nuts, McDonald's, delicacies, candy, cakes. Noshim, women, koinu lehem begodim etachshitan kefim emono. He should purchase new clothing, jewelry for them, based on his budget, gefim emonoi, whatever fits into his budget. The Rambam said in the beginning, the Torah says in the beginning, a person should splurge, but it has to be obviously within budget. V'hanashim oichlen basar v'shoysin yayin. Men should eat meat and drink wine. Now, kishehu oichel v'shoyse, when the person is eating and drinking, chayv l'hachal l'ger l'yosom v'l'almana. So the person has to feel responsible for the people that don't have, the people that are not as fortunate as himself, the ger, the yasom, people who don't have family, people, orphans, widows, people who don't have family to go to, people who don't have anyone to provide for them. Im shar huaniyim, together with the rest of the poor people. That's why before Yom Tov, there's usually funds are established in order to help people get through the Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah to invite people and to have people at your table, not just for a social obligation, but to actually invite people who are needy, who otherwise wouldn't have. Avomish and noyel dalse besoy. These are the famous words of the Rambam. Someone who closes the door of his house, he slams the door of his house. And he only observes the Yom Tov between him and his immediate family. He eats and he drinks with his children and with his wife, and he's not providing food and drink for the people that don't have, the mari nefesh, for those that are bitter, people that have a poor lot in life. So that turns his whole feasting, which would ordinarily be considered a mitzvah of rejoicing on Yom Tov, it turns it into simchas kreisai. It turns out that he's not doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. He's doing it just to fill his stomach. He might be saying that he's doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah, but if you really were doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, why am I not inviting other people? Why am I not seeing to it that everybody else has? It must be that I'm only doing it for myself. I'm only doing the parts that I enjoy. I'm not doing it totally for the purpose of the mitzvah. So it turns my whole rejoicing into a simchas kresoi, into just a gluttony. Bial elu nemar, and on that it says, the Rambam quotes a pasuk, zivcheihem kelechem oinim lohem kol oichlov yitamu ki lachmam lenafsham hu. Their bread is contaminated, everything they eat is considered tamei because they're only eating to satisfy themselves. So that was the strong expression of the Rambam. And this is referring to the Yom Tov, to the Chol HaMoed, that when we're rejoicing, we have to see to it that everybody is provided for. Now, here's the schedule of the day, according to the Rambam. And again, it'll become clear in a moment that this is not just on Yom Tov, this is even on the Chol HaMoed. Afogav, this is item Gimel in the notes. Afogav, even though, she'achila ushtia b'moed mitzvahs aseihi, even though it's true that the eating and the drinking and the being mesameach on the moed, on the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, is a mitzvah saseh, and we're actually fulfilling a positive commandment. You might recall that we spoke about the mitzvah of simcha, and the Rambam is pretty clear that although the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Simcha in the times of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring karbanos and to enjoy the sacrificial meat, but it's pretty clear in the Rambam that even Bizman Hazeh, nowadays, we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, the positive commandment, it's a deraisa, with whatever we have. So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was only the maximum Simcha comes through the eating of the basar shlamim, but nowadays as well, although we don't have the best of the best, we have to rejoice with the Yom Tov with whatever we have, and we fulfill the mitzvah saseh deraisa. So the Rambam says, Af ogav she'achilo ushtia b'moed mitzvah saseh, even though eating and drinking, we're fulfilling a positive commandment, nevertheless, lo yehei oichel b'shoise kol hayom. The person should not be eating and drinking all day long, even though he's fulfilling a mitzvah. There's a better way to spend the Yom Tov, which is what the Rambam said before, to divide the day into two. Elakach hi hamida. This is the way the person should spend his day. Kol ha'om mashkimim lebatei knesiyos ulebatei midrashos. Everybody should get up and go to the shul, go to the base medrash, u'mispalalin, we should daven, v'koirin batoira, v'inyin hayoim, and we should hear the kriyas ha'toira, that speaks about the different themes of the day. Chazal were very careful to pick various selections of the Chumash, different portions to read over Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed that all express the various themes of the day. If we pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, we can glean what the themes of the day are. The Chozrin the Batehem, and we go back home and we go home. The Oichlin, and we eat. V'holchen lebatei midrashos, it's like we make kiddush after davening, we eat. V'holchen lebatei midrashos, and then we go back to the base medrash, v'shoinin, and we learn ad chatzi hayoim, until midday. U'mispalalin tfilas mincha, and we should daven mincha. Sometimes you have that the shul davens mincha right after they finish, if it's already past chatzos, they can daven mincha right away. So the Rambam has us going to shul early, davening, coming home, eating a suda, running back to shul, beis medrash, learning, davening mincha, v'chozrin lebateihem lechol v'lishtois shar hayoim ad halayla, and we go back home and we continue eating and drinking the remainder of the day until the evening, and then I guess we would go back for Ma'ariv after that. So this might be what the Torah is referring to. This might be what the Torah is referring to, that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah to have three sudos, because we ate the evening before and we have a suda right after davening. We run away, we run back to shul to learn until chatzos, and then we daven mincha and we go home and then we have another suda. So this might be the way the Rambam describes it. This might be where the Torah got that there's a mitzvah to have three sudas. Our minig, like the Rush says, is only to have two. So the question just came in, is it prohibited to fast until after Chatzos? So there's actually two in Yonim. The Aruch HaShulchan speaks about it in Hilchos Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Al pi svara, because there are three sudos on Shabbos, imagine if a person misses the Friday night meal. So there's actually a mitzvah to make it up the next day and to eat three meals on Shabbos day. So there's actually a requirement to have three meals, or on Yom Tov to have the two meals, and you would make it up the next day. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that Al Pi Svara, because there are three meals over the Shabbos, it would make sense that each meal has its own time zone. So the evening is a time to have the first Suda. The first half of the day before Chatzos is the time to have the second Suda. And that's why Chol HaMoed is after Chatzos. There's a whole diyun in the Mefarshim when Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos and you want to eat the three meals before Pesach, before the Seder night that following night, Mitzvah Shabbos. So how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas? So some people, they break their morning meal into two, but part of the issue is because Shalosh Shudas has to be done after Chatzos. Like the Aruch HaShulchan says, there are three zmanim in the day to have the three sudas. So some Paiskim say that you shouldn't be fasting until after Chatzos, because that would be like a half day fast on Shabbos. Besides that, there's an inyan to have your suda before chatzos. So there actually are two issues, not to fast beyond chatzos and to have your suda before chatzos. Let's say on a long Rosh Hashanah davening, if you would have a cup of coffee or a drink before davening, so then you're good vis-a-vis fasting until chatzos. The issue would be the suda. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so the minig is in the yeshivas, sometimes they have a little kiddush before, or some shuls don't even do that. They go past chatzos. That's how the minig evolved. But there really are two different issues. Number one, not to fast, and number two, to have a suda before chatzos. So we try to be mekayim that whenever we can, not to fast until chatzos, to make sure you had something to drink before davening, something, water, a cup of water or a cup of coffee. And secondly, to preferably have the morning suda before chatzos, to start it before chatzos. The in item Dalid, the Rambam continues. This is all the quote of the Torah quoting the Rambam. The Torah continues in the name of the Rambam. Gisha adam oichel v'shoise. When the person is eating and drinking, v'somach beregel, and he's rejoicing over the regel, lo yimshoich bebasur v'yayin u'bischoik. So this is the attitude. The person should not continue with the meat and the wine and bischoik, with lightheaded laughter, kalos rosh, other forms of lightheadedness, v'yomer, and the person should not rationalize, kol ha-moisif bozeh marbe b'simchas mitzvah. The person should not sort of justify or rationalize to himself that I'm doing a mitzvah, so I'm going to indulge and I'm going to just eat in a gluttonous way, eating and drinking, laughter and lightheadedness, and all of this is a mitzvah, b'simchas mitzvah. So explains the Torah in the name of the Rambam, l'fi she'ein haschoik v'kalas roish harbe simcha, because the Rambam tells us, because the truth is, that's not what true simcha is about. And this is a fascinating and powerful statement from the Torah in the Rambam, that laughter and lightheadedness is not simcha. Ela hoilolos, this is just foolishness. This is like tzanis, v'sichlos. This is just a mockery. V'loi nitztavinu ala hoilolos v'hasichlos. That's not what we were commanded regarding. To have hoilolos and to sichlos, to have simple a mockery, or to have lightheadedness, to have leitzanis, to have just unbridled laughter. Ela ala simcha sheyesh ba avoides hayotzer. The simcha that we should be having, that we should be experiencing on the Yom Tov and on the Chol HaMoed, should be a simcha that is a service to Hashem. The simcha itself is a service to Hashem. We're taking stock each Yom Tov. We're taking stock of the lessons that Yom Tov has to offer. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're becoming a nation, accepting upon ourselves the avdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Akaras HaToiv that we have to Hashem for choosing us as a nation. Shavuos, of course, we were Mekabel the Torah. Sukkos, we're celebrating the fact that Hashem protected us back in the Midbar and continues to protect us today through the Gullus and all the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was serving us. So the simcha that we have is a form of avodas hayotzer. It number one, it brings us to more service of Hashem. It motivates us to want to serve Hashem. It gives us the opportunity to take stock on the lessons of what the Yom Tov has to offer. And it gives us an opportunity to express Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to strengthen our relationship with Him. That is the purpose of the simcha of the Yom Tov. Just on the side, so we have Purim coming up. It's we just went through Purim Katan, Shushan Purim. We have Purim coming up in a month now, and we have Pesach coming up. So Purim also. Purim is a time to rejoice over the Hakaras HaTov that Hashem continues to protect His nation, and to witness, to celebrate the Nisim, the Nistarim, the miracles that Hashem preserves us and keeps us in the Gullus, even when there's persecution, even when people are out to get us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. And this should bring us to strengthen our resolve to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly this can be applied to Purim as well, that it's not about just the eating and the drinking and being merry. It's about channeling our Hakaras HaToiv and our feelings of gratitude and love in order to strengthen our resolve to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's so interesting how the Rambam and the Torah, there's a practical, even back then, there were issues. When the people are eating and drinking, there are issues, and it becomes the achrayus now of the community to protect itself. Chayav and Bezdin. The Bezdin is obligated, Lahamid Shoitrim, to establish Shoitrim. So Shoitrim are like policemen, like chaperones, people who are circulating among the people, Beregalim. Shu Shoitatin Umachapsin. They should be circulating around, and they should be searching out, making sure Beginois Upardesim in the gardens and the orchards, Yalanaharois, or on the rivers, the beaches, make sure that no improper behavior is happening. We have to make sure that there's no improper mingling of the men and the women. And during this simcha, people are a little bit more relaxed. People are eating and drinking. They're rejoicing. There is levity in the air. We have to make sure that there's no improper relationships going on between the men and the women. And we have to warn the people ahead of time that even in the privacy of our own homes, we have to be vigilant that the men and the women are not mingling in any improper fashion. And they shouldn't be indulging in wine. Shema yavoli de avera. Perhaps some avera, some sinful behavior might occur. So it's fascinating how there's a simcha going on, but there's also a responsibility to make sure that people are behaving as they should. I remember the first year we were here with the Kohel was making a Purim Suda, so people came over to me before and said, make sure that nobody's getting too drunk, make sure nobody's drinking too much, we have to make sure that the behavior is still respectable. Of course, our Purim Suda in the Kohel was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, but we have to, even though we're allowing ourselves to loosen up a bit, we still have to make sure that we behave in a proper way, and that our simcha is an expression of avoda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it shouldn't chas v'shalom lead to something improper. And then the Rambam, the Torah continues in the name of the Rambam, midas chasidim, this is the way of pious people, and we can aspire to try to be a little bit like this, asher Hashem l'negdam tamid. Imagine a pious person where he always has Hashem in the foremost thoughts of his mind. Hashem is l'negdam tamid. Hashem is always in front, is always before them. They're always thinking about Hashem. They always view themselves in the presence of Hashem. U'b'chol darcheihem yadu'u. And in everything they do, they know Hashem. They see Hashem. They keep Hashem in there in whatever they do. Be'eis simchasam, during the time of their simcha, how do these pious individuals, what do they get out of their simcha? Oz yoiser v'yoiser mevorchin u'mishabchin le'akadosh baruch hu. So even the more so, they're drinking, they're eating, they're happy, they're relaxed. So what happens from that? More and more, they bless Hashem, they praise Hashem, asher samcham, who's giving them this simcha. He's the one who gave us the Yom Tif. He gave us this opportunity to rejoice. So truly pious individuals, when they're given the opportunity to have simcha, when they're given something to have simcha about, so they channel that simcha and they just use it to praise and to bless Hashem even more. It reminds me of the well-known Dvar Torah that when Yaakov was coming down to Mitzrayim and he was going to meet his long-lost son Yosef after all these years, 22 years, so Yosef was so excited. Ava is Mekalkel Ashura, and he wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So he himself saddled his chariot, and he rode to greet his father. And when he finally reaches his father, he's hugging and kissing and crying over his father, reunited with his father. Where was Yaakov in all of this? Why doesn't the Torah tell us what Yaakov was doing. So Rashi brings the well-known Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was reciting the Shema. So the Mefarshim ask, of all times, this is when you recite the Shema. So one of the Pshatim is that Yaakov was so overwhelmed with Simcha that he decided to use that opportunity of Simcha to be mekabel on himself, Ol Malchus Shemayim. He already davened Shacharis before, but he used this opportunity. He took these emotions of love towards Yosef and he packaged it and sent a little portion of that love and that happiness. He sent it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He used the opportunity to be mekabel on himself, Ol Malchus Shemayim, the Kriya Shema, to declare Hashem's oneness in this state of Simcha. We can only imagine the level of these people. The Torah is describing that the Midas Chasidim is they always have Hashem before them, and anytime there's an opportunity to have Simcha, all it does is just cause them to bless and to praise Hashem even more. V'yoymer ha'adam b'liboy, and a person should say in his heart, be'eis simchasai v'hanhasai, while he's in this extra state of Simcha over Yantif. And while he's getting this extra pleasure, he's enjoying the food, he's enjoying the wine, he's enjoying the company, his family is around him during this time. Im kach hi simchas olam hazeh, if a person could have such simcha in this world, asher hi hevel, after everything said and done, this world is a passing world, ki yeshach reho tuga v'tzar, because this world is only a temporary world. Even the simcha we have in this world is only temporary. It's not too long before, you know, the worries come back. As soon as Yom Tov's over, the worries come back and the bills have to be paid. Im kein, ma tehei simchas olam haba hatmidis she'ein achrei hatuga. So all the more so, the simcha of olam haba, the constant, continuous, consistent simcha of olam haba, where there's no pain or distress or anxiety after that simcha. So the person is basically, he's rejoicing on the Yom Tov. He's using the opportunity to dedicate himself further to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to strengthen his resolve, to renew his relationship with Hashem, to learn the lessons, to glean the lessons of the Yom Tov. And he's making a kal v'chomer for himself, that if this simcha shel mitzvah can be so intense in this world, just imagine the simcha of basking in the Shechina in the world to come. V'yispalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of tefillah should the person have when he's in the middle of all of this simcha? He should daven t'Hashem, shiyat liba la'avdoi, that Hashem should incline our hearts, that we should have a desire to serve Him. We're allowed to daven t'Hashem, that He should inspire us to serve Him, because if we're davening for that, then that means that that's what we want. So we're already exercising our bechira. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should make us incline, give us this desire, arouse us, inspire us to want to serve Him. Lasos ritzoinoi b'lev sholem, v'yismechenu b'simchas ha'olam, that Hashem should rejoice with us and give us the eternal simcha, v'yizakenu l'chayi olam haba, le'or b'or p'nei melechayim, to walk in the light, to bask in the light of the Pnei Melechaim, of the countenance, the presence of the everlasting, the living King. This is an amazing, inspiring, a very powerful tour. It's a whole arichus in the tour, how to spend the Yom Tov. Now, the Hagdama to all of this, I looked in the actual Rambam, before this is what the tour brings. What we've just learned together is how the tour quotes the Rambam. When I looked into the actual Rambam, so the Rambam says something a little bit before. He gives an introduction, and it's pretty clear from the Rambam that he's not only referring to the days of the Yom Tov on either end, but he's also referring to the entire Yom Tov, including the Chol HaMoed. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov, Halacha Yud Zayin, Shibas Yimei HaPesach, all 7 days of Pesach, Ushmoina Simei HaChag, and all 8 days of the Chag, Im Shar Yomim Tovim, together with the rest of the Yom Tovim. So I imagine he means Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, even though they don't have a Chol HaMoed. Kulam Asurim Behesped B'Tainis, we're not allowed to eulogize, we're not allowed to fast, it was mentioned earlier. B'chayiv Ondom Liois Behem Sameach V'Toiv Leiv, and this is where the Rambam introduces the entire Arichos that the tour brings. The person is obligated to have simcha and to be joyous in his heart. Anybody who is in his camp, anybody who he's responsible for, like it says, it says you should rejoice in your holiday. So this is an introduction to what the Torah brings, starting from item Beis and on. This is the first introductory phrase that the Rambam says that it applies on the 7 days and the 8 days of Sukkot, including the Chol HaMoed, including the intermediate days. And the Rambam speaks out, even though technically the simcha that the pasuk is referring to, v'somachta b'chagecha, is the simcha of eating the sacrificial meat of the karbanis in the Beis Hamikdash. That was like an intense spiritual simcha that we're, number one, we're bringing karbanis, we're offering sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're in Yerushalayim and we're eating the meat, the basar kadshim. Even though this simcha specifically is referring to the karban shlamim, like we say in Hilchas Chagiga, but yesh bechlal oisa simcha lesmoyach hu ubano v'bnei beisai kol echa v'yechad karoloi, that included in that mitzvah of simcha, there is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of simcha nowadays as well, when we rejoice with our families, each person according to what brings that person happiness, ways of bringing ourselves to simcha. The men with the basar v'yayin, the women with the jewelry and the new garment, and the children with the candy and the delicacies. So that helps us bring us to a state of simcha, and that's also a fulfillment of the mitzvah asay of esomachta b'chagecha. This is the big shita sarambam, that we fulfill the deraisa of esomachta b'chagecha even nowadays. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Mo'ikatan that says that nowadays our fulfillment of Simchas Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan, because we don't have the Basar Kadshim. But the Rambam is clear, that the Rambam argues that even nowadays we have a fulfillment of Simcha on a Doraisa level, because the V'somachta B'chagecha includes even the Simcha we have all the way up to and including the Basar Kadshim. It's an open-ended Simcha that we fulfill it. We have a fulfillment with our Simcha, and in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, we would be able to fulfill it even more with Basar Kadshim. And since the Rambam uses this introduction to introduce what we've been learning until now, that the Torah brings the 7 days of Pesach and the 8 days of the Chag together with all the other Yom Tovim, it's pretty clear in the Rambam that the Rambam is encouraging us to enjoy and to rejoice on Chol HaMoed, even on the same level as the Yom Tov itself. And we're going to soon see that the Poskim actually discuss, is it actually on the same level or not? But I want to bring a raya from the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to say that the Simchas Chol HaMoed is on par with the Simcha of the Yom Tov itself. There's a fascinating Gemara in Meseches Sukkah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that describes the Simcha of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's interesting, Rashi's opinion is that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a celebration that went on all night in the Beis HaMikdash, that basically was about the water drawing ceremony, when they would draw the water the night before, and they would bring the water into the courtyard of the Azara, and they would pour the water, the Nisach HaMayim, on the Mizbeach, a special service that was performed only on Sukkot. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Rambam's opinion is that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was not just about the water drawing ceremony, but it was a Shoeva. We were drawing Ruach HaKodesh and we were drawing Simcha. It was more about the Simchas HaChag. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omar Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was a Levi, and he recalls what it was like in the Beis HaMikdash. When we would rejoice the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, loyra'inu shina be'einenu, we did not have sleep. We didn't sleep the entire week of Sukkot, because the joy, the schedule was so busy. Loyra'inu shina be'einenu, we never had sleep. Ketzah, what was the schedule of the day on a Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash? And this is something that everybody, I'm sure there were some people that dropped out, but this was the routine on an average Sukkot day, where there was a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Just think what it's like back in the yeshiva days on Simchas Torah in yeshiva, where all day long, basically, you're running from one thing to the next, the akafis all day long, the davening, running to the suda, running around. That's how it was like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya goes through the schedule of the day. Shari Shaina, the first hour of the day, we would wake up at the crack of dawn. Shari Shaina Tamid Shoshach. We would all participate, we would come and see the bringing of the Tamid Shoshach, the morning Tamid. Misham, after that was brought, after the morning Tamid was brought, Misham Latfila, we would run to the little Beis Medrash that was in the Beis HaMikdash, and we would daven Shachris. First they would bring the Korban Tamid, then we would daven Shachris. It's interesting that even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, they also davened. Misham the Korban Musaf, then we would right away run, and we would perform, we would observe the Korban Musaf, the actual bringing of the sacrifices of the Korban Musaf. We would have the 13 bulls, we would have the 7 sheep, The whole animal, all the Korban Musaf on Sukkis. Misham Latfilas Musafin. As soon as they finished bringing the Korban Musaf, we would right away run back to the Shul, and we would daven Musaf. Misham LaBeis HaMedrash. Then we would go learn. Misham LaChilu Ushtia. Then we would rejoice. Misham Latfilas Mincha. Then we would run and daven Mincha. It's a little bit of a different schedule than the Rambam. Misham LaTamei Shulbein Rabbayim. After Mincha, then we would have to bring, and we would have to, and everybody would observe the bringing of the afternoon Tamid Ben Rabbi. Mikan ve'elach l'simchas beis ha'sha'eva. And then we would stay up all night, after such a long day, a vigorous day, we would stand up, we would stay up all night with the simchas beis ha'sha'eva, rejoicing all night, and we're all familiar with the stories of the Gemara, the Hasidim who would be juggling and rejoicing, and everybody would be watching and observing the righteous, pious dancing of the tzaddikim and being inspired. The Gemara asks the obvious question, then how is it possible that a person could be awake 7 days straight? The Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? Is it really possible that Rabbi Shul ben Hananya could claim that he was up all 7 days of Sukkot without sleeping? If a person takes an oath that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so instead of the Shavua being a Shavua's bitoy, instead of the Shavua obligating him not to sleep, the person swore that he's not going to sleep for 3 full days. So the Shavua is not considered binding because that's considered to be an impossibility. So it's just dvarim betalim. It's just nonsense. And the Shavua, instead of being a Shavua's bitoy, instead of the Shavua actually obligating me to not sleep for 3 days, the Shavua is just considered to be a nonsensical Shavua, a saying Hashem's name in vain. So Malkin Oisoyv Yoshala Alter, we give him lashes right away for making a Shavua Shav. Instead of it being an obligatory Shavua, instead of it being something that obliges him to fulfill his Shavua, instead the commitment is a nonsensical commitment. It just turns into a Shavua Shav, just into a lie, basically a lie. He gets malchus immediately for making a shvua shav, a nonsensical shvua, and he's allowed to sleep right away. Why? Because Chazal were so sure that it's impossible to stay awake for more than 3 days that they just say, you know what, your shvua doesn't even commit you. Go to sleep now. We're going to give you lashes because you made a false shvua because it's impossible, but the shvua can't possibly commit you to stay awake. So how could Rabbi Shua ben Chananya say that he would stay awake the entire 7 days? Elohachi komar, this is what Rabbi Shua ben Chananya meant to say. My ta'amnu tam shina, that we didn't have a good sleep. We didn't taste the taste of sleep. To have a menamnia kaspa da'adali, people were falling asleep on the shoulders of their friends. So imagine like a packed azara, the base of mikdash is packed, and people are dropping, people are falling asleep everywhere on their shoulders of their friends. It's so tightly packed that people are falling asleep. I'm sure that there were security measures that were put into place that it shouldn't be dangerous, but people were rejoicing and fully immersed in the simcha of the Yom Tov. Amazing. It was an opportunity to commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to rejoice in the various things that there are to rejoice about, and that we should take a lesson that if that we rejoice with Hashem in this world and will certainly rejoice with Hashem in the next world. The Rambam continues in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Zayin. Cholal Shel Moed. What about Cholal Moed? Af al pi shelo nemar bo Shabbosin. So even though we know that it doesn't strictly say Shabbosin, so we discussed if Meleches Cholal Moed is D'oraisa or D'rabbanan. Those things that we're forbidden to do, that we're prohibited from doing on Cholal Moed, is that an Issur D'oraisa or is it only an Issur D'rabbanan? So Tosfos and the Rosh hold that it's only an Issur D'rabbanan. We said that Rashi is mashma, that it's an Issur D'oraisa. The Ramban has a compromised position. The Rambam says that when it comes to Cholal Moed, Afo pi shelo nemar bo Shabbosin, even though it doesn't say Shabbosin, the Torah does not declare Cholal Moed as a day of rest. In other words, we're allowed to perform Melacha. The Rambam's opinion seems to be that midoraisa, you can perform Melacha on Cholal Moed, like the Tosfos and the Rush. Hoil the Nikra Mikra Kodesh, because Cholal Moed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh, it is referred to as a holy day. When the Pasuk says that the Yom Tov of Pesach and Shavuos is a Mikra Kodesh, it's referring to the Cholal Moed also. Harehu Zman Chagiga B'Mikdash, and it is a time when we offer the chagiga in the Beis HaMikdash, the Karbanas Simcha. So, Asr Vasiyas Malacha, you're not allowed to perform certain Malacha, Kidei Shelo Yehei Kisharim Yemeyachol, She'em Behem Kedusha Klal. So, Chol HaMoed does have extra Kedusha. It was a time of chagiga in the Beis HaMikdash. It's referred to as Mikroi Kodesh by the Torah. It doesn't say Shabbat, so granted, Midoy Raisa, there's no Isser Malacha, but the Chachamim Asr Malacha in order to differentiate Cholal Moed from an ordinary weekday. An ordinary weekday doesn't have any Kedusha at all, but Cholal Moed does have a level of Kedusha. We saw the Rambam's opinion that the Simcha applies to the Cholal Moed also. So the Chazal instituted certain prohibitions of Malacha that we've discussed, we've talked about over the weeks, in order to differentiate the Cholal Moed from the rest of from an average weekday from the rest of the year. It's very interesting because what about having sudos on Cholal Moed? Is there actually a requirement to wash and eat bread on Cholal Moed? Or is it just a mitzvah? Is it forbidden to fast? Or is it more than that? Is there actually a mitzvah to have a suda on Cholal Moed as well? So it turns out that it's a machlokes haposkim. It's very interesting. The tour in Kuf Pei Ches, this is in Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, in Hilchos Benching. So we're all familiar with the concept. If the person forgets Yala V'Yavo on a Rosh Chodesh, the person decided to wash and bench on Rosh Chodesh, and he forgot to mention Yala V'Yavo in the Rosh Chodesh benching, so the halacha is he doesn't have to repeat the benching. If a person neglects to say Yala V'Yavo in the Yom Tov benching, or if the person forgets to say Ritzei in the Shabbos benching, he has to repeat the benching. What's the difference? So basically the concept is, if you were mechuyev to eat a meal, then that was part of the obligations of the day. Then the benching becomes sort of like a Yom Tov benching, and you have to have the askari. You have to mention the fact that it's Yom Tov. The Yal V'Yavo becomes critical. If on Rosh Chodesh, where technically there's no mitzvah to have a suda, it doesn't say simcha, or it doesn't say mikroi kodesh, or covenant oinig regarding a Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, the Suda and the benching are not technically part of the mitzvahs hayoyim, and therefore it's not critical. You didn't have to eat altogether. You didn't have to have bread altogether. So therefore, the Yal V'Yavoy of the benching is not critical. So that's what it says. That's what the Gemara says. And the Tor brings it in Simen Kuf Peches. Omar Shmuel. This is a quote from the Tor in Simen Kuf Peches, Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, in Archai. Omar Shmuel, Tavu Hiskir Shel Rosh Chodesh Betfila. If the person leaves out Yala V'Yavo during the Shmoneh Esrei, machzir nusa. He has to daven, he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, bebirkas hamazon. But if he doesn't mention Yala V'Yavo in the benching, a machzir nusa. He doesn't have to repeat the benching. My time, what's the difference? What's the difference that the Yala V'Yavo is critical in the davening on Rosh Chodesh, but it's not critical in the benching of Rosh Chodesh? What's the difference? Do you have to say Yala V'Yavo or not? So the Gemara explains, my taima, tefila d'le matzi pater nafshe, tefila shmona esrei, where there's no way out, you have to daven shmona esrei. So when it comes around Rosh Chodesh, we treat the shmona esrei as part of the mitzvah of the day. Every day has its requirements to daven. Rosh Chodesh has its requirements to daven as well. Since it's Rosh Chodesh today, and since I have to daven today, so it becomes critical to mention the day is Mechayev the Shmona Esrei, and the Shmona Esrei defines the day. So therefore, we have to mention the Yalav Yavoy. Machzir Noisai. We have to go back, because you have to daven today. Today is Rosh Chodesh. So the tefillah takes on the form of a Rosh Chodesh tefillah. You have to mention Rosh Chodesh. If you don't mention Rosh Chodesh, it's like you didn't daven. Birkas HaMazon, when it comes to benching, the Matzi Pater Nafshei, where you could really exempt yourself. Iboy Ochel, Iboy Ochel. If you want, you can eat. If you don't want, you don't have to eat. The Poskim are quick to explain that it doesn't mean you can fast on Rosh Chodesh, but you don't have to eat bread. Pirish, the Torah explains, Darish Etzarech Birkas HaMazon. You're not technically obligated to eat something that obligates you to bench. You're not required to eat bread. She'efshe she'yechal peris ha'yurapis. You can go through the day eating fruit, eating vegetables. Nobody says you have to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh. Rak sheliyis ane, provided that you don't fast. She'asil is ane b'Rosh Chodesh. You can't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Hilkach, therefore, explains the Torah. This is from the Gemara. Lo madbin le, you don't have to go back and repeat the benching, because you really weren't obligated to eat or bench to begin with. You could have skipped eating bread. You didn't have to bring yourself to the obligation to bench. And therefore, if the person did not mention Yalav Yaveh in the benching, it's not worse than had he not eaten bread in the first place. He wouldn't have benched, and he wouldn't have said Yalav Yaveh either. So therefore, it's not critical in the benching. So the davening, which you have to daven, it becomes a defining feature of the day. You have to mention Yalav Yaveh in the tefillah, because it becomes a Rosh Chodesh tefillah. But we can't really say that the benching is a Rosh Chodesh benching, because you didn't have to eat bread to begin with. Benching without mentioning the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is not worse than not having benched at all, and therefore we can't require you to go back. So the Beis Yosef over there in Siman Kuf Peches writes in item Yud Aleph, U'miyu cholov shel moed mashma the dinuk Rosh Chodesh. The first opinion is that Chol Moed is like Rosh Chodesh, that if the person neglects to say Yalav Yavoh in the benching of Chol Moed, it's the same halacha as Rosh Chodesh. He does not have to repeat the benching. Why? For the same reason that we just said. Because you don't have to eat bread in the first place on Chol Moed. So not mentioning Chol Moed, not mentioning that it's Pesach, not mentioning that it's Sukkos, is not worse than not having benched at all. You didn't have to eat bread in the first place. And therefore, we can't say that you have to go back, because the benching does not become a defining feature of the day. It's not a Chol Moed benching, because you don't have to eat bread in the first place on Chol Moed. The kinkas of smag v'hakalboi, so says the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, so writes the Kalboi in Hilchos Yomtiv. However, brings the Beis Yosef, avo b'tashbats, a Rishon, one of the Rishonim, the Tashbats writes in Simen Shin Sadiches, Kosav, the Bechol HaMoed in Machzirin Oso ki im besuda shachas v'sholayl. The Tashbats takes it for granted that if you forget Yalav Yavoy and Chol HaMoed, you need to repeat the benching. The Tashbat says the only time you have to repeat the benching, he takes it for granted that you have to repeat the benching, the only time you have to repeat the benching, explains the Tashbats, is the meal in the evening and the first meal of the day, the Shachris meal. The person comes home from Shul and Chol HaMoed, has breakfast, he washes on a bagel or a piece of matzah on Pesach. That meal, you do have to repeat the benching if you neglect to say Yalav Yavoy. Aval Em Oichel B'Chatzayim, if you have an extra meal, some other Suda, then that was an extra Suda that wasn't an obligation. Einu Choizer, then you don't have to go back. But the Shpatz clearly writes that on Chol HaMoed, you don't have to go back unless it's the evening meal or the first meal of the day. Then you have to go back. Any extra meals were voluntary, you don't have to go back. So it's Mavur, you see from here that the Tashbats holds that even on Chol HaMoed you have to eat bread. That's the opinion of the Tashbats. Ad kedei kach, to the extent that if the person would forget Yalav Yavoy in the benching of Chol HaMoed, he would have to repeat the benching. That's the opinion of the Tashbats. So it's a machlekes. The Beis Yosef brings from the Smag and the Kolboy that technically you don't have to eat bread. Chol HaMoed is analogous to Rosh Chodesh. But the Tashbats writes that Chol HaMoed should be compared to a Yom Tov, not to Rosh Chodesh, because there is an obligation, the Simcha would be mechayev you to eat bread, and therefore it would require you to mention the Alav Yavoi. It's critical to mention the Alav Yavoi in the mention of Chol HaMoed. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Kuf Pei Ches, like the Beis Yosef, like he wrote from the Smag and the Kalboy, the Chol HaMoed Dina Keresh Chodesh. That's a halach in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Pei Ches Beferish. La halach HaLamaisa, the Iker Hadin, is that Chol HaMoed is like Rosh Chodesh, and one is not required. We should mention the Alav Yavoi, but it's not critical. One is not required to re-bench if he neglected to say Alav Yavoi in Chol HaMoed. That would tell us that technically there's no obligation to eat bread on Chol HaMoed. However, the Vilna Gaon, Ayin Bir HaGroshon, so the Vilna Gaon writes on comments on the Shulchan Aruch, V'yesh Cholkin, there are those who argue. Now, the Vilna Gaon is referring to the opinion of the Tashbats, that there is an obligation to eat bread on Chol HaMoed. L'choyra nirei k'divrayim. And the Vilna Gaon says that it would seem to appear like the opinion of the Tashbats. If you go through the Gemaras, it would seem to appear like the Tashbats. U'kamasha kosav, because like it says in the Mishnah in Sukkah, Halel v'simcha shmoina. The Mishnah goes on in Sukkah to say that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, lulav would either be 7 days or 6 days, because you wouldn't take the lulav on Shabbos. So if the Shabbos would, if the first day of Yom Tov falls out on a Shabbos, we would allow you to take lulav on Shabbos. But any of the other days, the intermediate days, you wouldn't take the lulav. So lulav is sometimes 7 days, sometimes 6 days. But the Mishnah clearly says in Masechet Sukkah that halel is all 8 days. Why not? You say halel on Chol HaMoed, whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why not? You say, nothing wrong saying Hal on Shabbos. You say Hal all 8 days. And Simcha, the Simcha also is all 8 days. What does the Simcha all 8 days mean? It means that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we would have to ensure that we have Basar Shlamim ready for every day of Sukkot. Even if it's Shabbos, so you have to make sure that you shech the Karban Shlamim, you offer a Karban Shlamim on Friday, in order that you'll have sacrificial meat to eat on the Shabbos. Simcha is all 8 days. And the Rambam tells us that nowadays we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha with what we have today. So says the Vilna Gaon, it would seem that the same level of Simcha that you have on Yom Tov, you also have on Chol HaMoed. Just like Halel is all 8 days, so the Simcha is all 8 days. And Rabbi Lazar in Masechet Sukkah says that you're obligated to eat 14 meals throughout the holiday of Sukkot, one in the evening, one in the morning. So you see again that even on Chol HaMoed, there's an obligation to eat 2 meals a day. U'b'toras koyanim, the pasuk says in the Braisa, mikra kodesh, this is what the Rambam referred to before, that Chol HaMoed is referred to in the Torah as mikra kodesh, kabdeyu ba'achila u'shtiyah u'ksos nekiyah. You should honor all the entire Yom Tov with eating and drinking, and with clean clothes, which are special clothes. B'yamrinan b'chagiga, the Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, we learned this Gemara together when we were discussing Maleches Chol HaMoed, if it's the Raisa or the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Toim Rabbi Chol HaMoed, the Nikra Mikra Kodesh, that Chol HaMoed is different because it's called Mikra Kodesh. That was one of the drushes that the Gemara brought, that there's an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, because Chol HaMoed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So the Vilna Gaon, he brings back the opinion of the Tashbats, and he says that it would seem from the Gemaras that the Tashbats is correct, aval eino mukhrach, but it's not 100% compelling. In other words, we can't argue on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that technically there's no obligation to eat bread on Chol HaMoed, even though the Gemara says consistently that there's a mitzvah of simcha. Maybe that mitzvah does not obligate us to eat bread. But it would seem that there's a very strong mitzvah to observe the Chol HaMoed the way we would on the Yom Tov, and we should have a simcha, we should have bread, we should have sudos on Chol HaMoed as well. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, and that's actually brought in Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham brings in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed in Hilchos Chol HaMoed Kosav a Tanya. So he brings from the Tanya, he brings from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Chayev Lechabdoi B'Maychel U'Mishneh U'Biksos Kishar Yom Tov. The Tanya actually writes that there's a mitzvah to honor Chol HaMoed with eating and drinking and with clothing, Yom Tov, Shabbos clothing, like the rest of Yom Tov. He puts the Chol HaMoed on par with the rest of Yom Tov. Now the Magen Avraham pulls back. That's a quote from the Tanya. Then he pulls back at the Maril, one of the very early Ashkenazic Achronim. He was lovash hakata umatrin shel Shabbos. I'm not sure exactly what these garments are, but it was some sort of chashuv outer garment. He would wear a Shabbos garment. Ube mishna resh perik dalad the sukkah, and in the mishnah in the beginning of the fourth perik of sukkah, the Magen Avraham brings what the Vilna Gaon brought, that Hallel and Simcha are 8 days, also seemingly requiring us to have the same level of Simcha all 8 days. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. But then the Magen Avraham says, Ayin Sham Ubisimin Kuf Pei Ches Sif Zayin, Mashma De Dai Bachilas Peris. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yom Tov refers us back to Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not required to eat bread. The way we know that is because the Shulchan Aruch says that if you neglected to say Yalav Yavoy in the benching, it's not critical, you don't have to go back, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Chol HaMoed is like Rosh Chodesh. When we come makom, nevertheless, says the Magen Avraham, nearly lechatchila mitzvah lechol pas, it's better to have a suda, a proper suda of pas, ein machzah shekel, the Mepharshim explain, it's to fulfill the opinion of the Tashbats. So it's very interesting because the Rambam says that he doesn't differentiate between all 8 days of Pesach, of Sukkot, or the 7 days of Pesach. The Tanya says that Chol HaMoed is exactly like the rest of the Yom Tov. The Magen Avraham brings from the Maril that he wore a Shabbos garment. It doesn't completely, he didn't dress in his Shabbos clothes, but he did wear something special in honor of Chol HaMoed. La halacha we paskin, that you're not obligated technically to eat bread. However, it's a mitzvah lechatchila because the Tashpatz holds we are, and the Tashpatz has a very compelling argument based on the different sources in the Gemara. The Magen Avraham says to look in Siman Tafresh Samach Dalid. Now, Tafresh Samach Dalid is the Seder Hayoim of Hoshana Rabbah on the last day of Sukkot before you start Shmini Atzeres. So the Magen Avraham writes that on Hoshana Rabbah, there's a minig to wear a kittel, but then he brings that the Maril would Maril lovash a kittel, avol shar bigdei Chol HaMoed lehayim meshana. He wore a special garment on Hoshana Rabbah, but he wouldn't change what he wore the rest of Chol HaMoed. And in our Medina, it says the minig is to wear bigdei Shabbos, not a kittel. On Hoshana Rabbah specifically, there's a minig to wear bigdei Shabbos. So over there, it's mashma that the minig was to wear Shabbos clothes on Hoshana Rabbah, but not necessarily to wear Shabbos clothes on the rest of Chol HaMoed. So the Magen Avraham points this out, but in Tafkuf Lamed, the Magen Avraham writes that the Baal HaTanya says that you should wear Big Day Shabbos the entire Chol HaMoed. So it's very fascinating that there are like these discrepancies. In Hilchos Hoshana Rabbah, it says that there's a special mitzvah to wear Big Day Shabbos, implying that the rest of Chol HaMoed not, but in Hilchos Chol HaMoed itself, the Magen Avraham writes that the Tanya was of the opinion that we should anyway honor Chol HaMoed the way we would honor the rest of Yom Tov, which would say we should wear Big Day Shabbos the entire Chol HaMoed. To sum it up, the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Shaar Tzion that he says that we're not obligated to honor the Chol HaMoed to the same extent as the rest of the Yom Tov. And I quoted here the Shaar Tzion in item Tezvav. This is a quote from the Shaar Tzion. So, Oistal. After Chol HaMoed Nikra Gamkin Mikra Kodesh, even though Chol HaMoed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh, which is what the Rambam says, it says it in the Gemara, Mikomakam Kivindu Le'inyin Malacha Minat Torah Mutter B'Chol HaMoed, since you're allowed Midoy Raisa to perform Malacha on Chol HaMoed, that's if you hold that Malachas Chol HaMoed is only the Rabbanon. And then the Shaar Tzion qualifies his statement, Al Kol Panim Midavara Avod Mutter L'Kuli Alma, and everybody would agree. Even the opinions that the malacha of Chol HaMoed is deraisa, but a davar ha'avud is certainly mutter. So, any way you slice it, the mikra kodesh of Chol HaMoed is not as strong as Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov you can't do malacha at all. You can do echol nefesh, but that's about it. On Chol HaMoed, everybody agrees, even if there is an element of deraisa, everybody agrees that davar ha'avud is permitted. So the kedusha of Chol HaMoed can't be as powerful, as strong as the kedusha of the Yom Tov. L'chein, so says the Shaar Tzion, gam le'inyin kibud ein l'damoisa le'yom tif. So it can't be that we have to honor the Chol HaMoed mamish on the same level as Yom Tov, because the whole source to honor the Chol HaMoed would be the pasuk of Mikra Kodesh, and we clearly see that Mikra Kodesh is not as strong on the Chol HaMoed as it is on the Yom Tov. The proof is that we can perform various malachas on the Chol HaMoed that we can't perform on the rest of Yom Tov, on the real day of Yom Tov. So clearly the Mikra Kodesh is not as powerful on the Chol HaMoed as it is on the Yom Tov. And this that it says in the Mechilta that we quoted earlier, that you have to honor Chol HaMoed with achila and shtiya and ksus nekiya with nice clothing, that means to honor it more than an average weekday. However, it doesn't mean that we have to honor it just as much as a Yom Tov, because the Mikra Kodesh of Chol HaMoed is not as strong as the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Tov. It's a little bit ambiguous, and therefore we're allowed to be lenient with Davar HaAvod. So therefore we can also be lenient as long as we honor the Chol HaMoed more than an average weekday. So to sum everything up, it seems like it's a big machlekes. It's a big machlekes. The Rambam, in my opinion, the Rambam is mashma like the Baal HaTanya, because the Rambam gives us this introduction that you have to honor all 8 days, you have to honor all 7 days, and then he goes into this whole arichas describing the simcha, the spiritual simcha that they had on the entire days of Pesach and Sukkot, implying that Chol HaMoed is the same as the rest of the Yom Tov. The Baal HaTanya says that the Chol HaMoed is the same as the rest of the Yom Tov. The Tashbatz holds that there's a chiyuv to have sudos in Chol HaMoed, just as there is on Yom Tov. If we forget to say the Yalav Yavo, we would have to repeat the benching. So you have one school of thought, one camp is the Rambam, the Baal HaTanya, and the Tashbatz, that there's an obligation to treat Chol HaMoed as if it was mamish Yom Tov. You can perform various malachas, but the joy, the aspect of the element of joy of Chol HaMoed should be the same as the Yom Tov, the Samachta de Chagecha. And then we have on the other side, the Maril just wore one Shabbos garment, a token, to honor the Chol HaMoed, to make it more than a regular weekday. We have the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, like the smag and the kolboy, that there's no obligation to eat bread on Chol HaMoed. And then we sort of have like the compromised position of the Shaar Tzion. We have to honor Chol HaMoed more than an average weekday, but we're not technically obligated to honor it as much as a Yom Tov, because the whole source would be Mikra Kodesh, and the Mikra Kodesh is clearly not as strong on Chol HaMoed as it is on the Yom Tov, as evident in the fact that there are certain leniencies in the Isser Malacha. So we should all be Zoicha to honor the Yom Tov and the Chol HaMoed as best as we can, and to realize, like the Rambam in the Torah, that the Simcha of the Yom Tov, and we have a Purim coming up as well, the Simcha of these special days is there to reinforce our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and to glean the lessons that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to glean on these special days, that it should carry us through the rest of the year. Okay, Yashar Koyach, everybody.
I had that one question about why they didn't have the spiritual place out on Shabbos to worry about. I guess people didn't go out because of the air. Make sure that there was no levity on Yom Tov.
Yeah, I think because on Shabbos there's no inyan of simcha, so the people weren't drinking as much on the Shabbos as they were on the Yom Tov and the Chol HaMoed. There wasn't that same inyan of simcha. That's the shot. All right, Yashar Koyach, everybody. Shkoyach, shkoyach.
We should have a replay of this right before Yom Tov.
Yeah.